We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
In California, and you have a sight that nobody even can believe. Nobody can believe, and we're going to have to do something about it. And we will do something about it. We're going to give them notice. In fact, we gave them a notice today. Clean it up. You got to do something. You can't have it. These are our great American cities, and they're an embarrassment, what the Democrats have let happen.
All right. The president speaking this weekend specifically about Los Angeles, but you could stick any city name you wanted to in there, couldn't you? Interestingly
sure.
enough, with the mess that you find a lot of these big cities in around here. Hey, welcome into the Mark Cox Morning Show. Happy Monday. Here we are on the coming out of another weekend where a shooting was in the headlines in the city, this time at a bar, right?
Yes.
So far as we know, it was like a personal dispute, though, and not targeting people in the bar from what we've read, correct?
I'm not sure.
Yeah,
have they reported that part?
Yeah, read motive? A comment about someone saying that I forget who it was that made this statement that if it is, it's hard to stop personal things from going on. But yeah. I didn't know that. I guess that's the assumption. But I didn't know that it was actually.
They said people scrambled, of course, as you would if you were in a bar setting and something gunshots went off. People thought there was an active shooter in the house, but. Somebody shot someone and then ran out the door. So it doesn't sound to
no,
me
like
it
description
was.
Of a. I think it kind of all happened so fast. No one has even been able to give a description.
But the important thing is we need to ban law-abiding citizens from having weapons. That's what people will walk away from that story with, and no solutions by the city of St. Louis, which continues to have, a prosecutor who ignores the real problems. Because she is bought and paid for by George Soros. So that's kind of where we are. It's a mess. We're going to talk more about that coming up here in just a couple of minutes. At the bottom of the hour, we've got Andrew Pollack joining us. If you haven't heard Andrew, he's been on all of the national networks. He lost a child in the Parkland shooting. He's got some pretty strong feelings, as you can imagine, on the issue of what needs to be done to prevent this from happening again. And we're going to welcome him to the program at about 7:35 this morning. Jesse Jane Duff at 8:10, and a great opportunity to support our wounded warriors. We're going to talk about that coming up in near the end of the 8 o'clock hour. Stay tuned for that. The Wounded Warriors, the Gateway Warrior Foundation, having a great event coming up. So we'll get to all that for you. Right now, though, my friend Rodney Boyd joining us. Rod the Bod, host of Insider Talk here on 971 FM Talk. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing well, man. I'm doing well. A lot going on in the gun and the violence conversation, not just in St. Louis, but all around the state. So I appreciate the setup that you were just discussing, what happened in St. Louis and beyond.
Stunned by the Missouri Scout poll that came out this weekend, I'll just have to tell you. I saw somebody yesterday tweeted out a picture of Beto O'Rourke and said, congratulations for becoming the number one AR-15 salesman in America.
It's this conversation, Mark, and I'm glad you were talking about it for a few minutes today, is one that we're going to have a real comprehensive conversation about as a society, because I think one of the things that people are looking for is some solution, right? There's gun violence, whether it's gun violence in certain neighborhoods that has become the norm, whether it's active shooters, which is shocking every, other month, shocking and making us all go into mourning, or the acts like you saw in the Shaw neighborhood, which is less than a few blocks from my house, that had my neighbors talking yesterday about we got to do something about guns. I think people keep running to first to the gun issue because of the weapon and what the weapon does, and but the danger for me when people say we got to do something about guns is it skips right over all of the variables that went into the person using a gun to commit the crime, whatever the scenario was. So it doesn't deal with the decay in the neighborhoods that caused people to accept gun violence as normal. It doesn't deal with whatever drove a person into a building to shoot a bunch of people they never met before. And it doesn't deal with whatever caused the person to resolve their problem last weekend with the gun. It's just, hey, we got to do something about guns. And it's almost like that's what people grab hold of, Mark, because they don't know what to do about the other things. And my plea is going to be we've got to have a broader conversation because there are too many guns. You're not going to go in and take them all away, no matter what Beto O'Rourke says. It's just not going to happen. So we're going to have to make some decisions about what we're going to do about violence and how we handle a number of things. And so that's why the conversation in Missouri is getting interesting, because for the first time in my recent career, there are Republicans and some conversations about something that might be done with in public safety or gun or violence, and the specifics are yet to be fleshed out.
So the Missouri Scout, this was forwarded to me, did a poll that they claim is representative of people likely to vote in 2020. Now, I'm not sure how they determined that. Here's how I know how they broke it down. I think it's important for people to understand when polls are explained. The polling companies, Rodney, for people who don't understand it, can have a huge impact on the outcome of any poll based on who they choose to include in it, right?
Correct.
They can. And here's the thing about the demographics for this poll. I think it's important. 41% of the respondents are from St. Louis. 24% were from Kansas City. So fully 65% of the people polled for this poll came from either St. Louis or Kansas City, which are blue areas of the state. Can we agree on that, right?
Yes, absolutely.
And among those polled, 53% were female, only 47% male. 56% considered themselves liberal or moderate, as opposed to 45% who considered themselves conservative. So I just want to get that out there before I talk about the results of this poll, because this blew me away. Here's the question. Would you support or oppose a ban on the sale of assault weapons? Now, it doesn't describe what an assault weapon is. It doesn't mention a specific rifle. It just calls it an assault weapon. 60% of the people that responded to this poll said they support the ban on assault weapons. 60%. Only 30% opposed it. I'm stunned by that.
Yeah, yeah. I'm stunned with the demographics that you just outlined or illuminated with the people polled, that the number wasn't higher, because those are the areas where people have always been for gun restriction and gun reform. And what that means is there are four laws that say you can't have or you can't do. And you know, you and I talked last week about polling, and polling has become a very slippery slope these days, because I'm not even sure now, even with the information you shared, how the polling is it really an accurate reflection from this perspective. So many people who don't live in those areas have a voice and have voted and will have an opinion on the gun policy. So to say that 60% or whatever based on those variables is a little bit of a slippery slope to get us into probably not an accurate review of Missouri, where Missouri is. But it comes back to the other question, Mark. Gun laws, there are a lot of gun laws on the books in a lot of places, and I'm not saying we don't need to do something and we don't need to look at some of these issues more acutely, but to do it in a vacuum or to do it just about the gun issue is so narrow that I think we end up with a lot of the same tragedies 5-10 years from now, even if you passed a bunch of gun laws, as has happened in a number of states and cities with absolutely tough and strict gun laws. It hasn't stopped people from getting guns and who want them and from using them to commit violent crimes in a bunch of different categories.
You know, I hate to draw this parallel because I don't want to confuse the issue, but one of the issues in this whole Steele dossier discussion with the FISA warrants and the information they used to apply for the FISA warrants was circular reporting. You remember that issue where a story was leaked to a newspaper, and the FISA application for the warrants, they referred to that to that story in the newspaper as further proof of a separate indication of these facts, even though they didn't tell the judge that it was leaked to the paper to provide that basis. That's a way of influencing a judge's decision when applying for a warrant, in my opinion. In this case, the mainstream media is going to tout this poll as 60% of Missourians support the idea of a ban on assault weapons. And they're going to use that to convince people that the vast majority of Missourians support that idea. I don't believe that's the case, Rodney, but how do you fight back against something like this?
Well, I think, Mark, even if 60% of Missourians, let's just hypothetically say the poll was right, how do you effectively take, I mean, we also have the Second Amendment due process. People are committed to keeping what they have today. So when Beto O'Rourke says he would take them back, or when people say take weapons, I don't even believe that's doable. I don't believe in 21st century America that if the government decided today to take weapons from people, I don't believe it's achievable. So it's another thing where you probably pass something that gets tied up in the courts for the next 10, 15 years. Nothing happens. In the meantime, the death, the violence, the segmented violence in the urban core, the acts of violence on people who never see it coming through mass shooters, the individuals who resolve disputes, all those issues don't go addressed while we have this sort of straw man debate about can we take people's assault weapons? Can we ban assault weapons? We did this before in the 90s. We banned assault weapons. And if you look at the data, and I've been trying to read a lot of it, the violence did not decrease. There were other variables that allowed gun violence in the U.S. to go up, even though we banned assault weapons. So I just don't want us to get caught up in these false narratives as if they're real solutions. We have to have a comprehensive conversation about the myriad ways that violence is plaguing different communities, different experiences, and individuals are using violence, gun violence, to solve problems that, you know, because they don't know how to de-escalate things. So,
right.
Look, I agree that there's people who want to do something who think that a gun bill is going to make everybody safer, but history has proven that that's not necessarily the case. And I don't know how under heaven you would actually effectively take weapons from people that have owned them, had them, and they're in their homes right now.
Well,
in this country.
This is what Beto had to say about it. Go to a cut eight, please.
Put it this way. This is something that we're able to do through the Commerce Clause, and this is something that is not prevented from the United States, wouldn't prevent the United States from doing by the Second Amendment. So this is constitutionally sound. This is absolutely necessary if we care about the lives of our fellow Americans.
Yeah, I think this dude killed too many brain cells at some point in his party past.
Yeah, I don't believe for one second that it's doable. Just because the Constitution or a judge may order something to be done doesn't mean that it could be executed by law enforcement. There was a second follow-up to that when a number of conversations where people were saying what law enforcement agents are going to go in and execute these orders, laws. So I just think even if you could, I still don't believe that action in any way would deal with the fact that there are so many other variables that are contributing to gun violence in this country that we aren't having a conversation about. You know, red flag laws kind of open up the conversation that we know that a lot of the mass shooters had some form of mental illness that was undiagnosed or untreated and slipped through the cracks. So, okay, maybe there's something there we have to have a deeper dive on. We also know that in urban America, whether it's St. Louis, Chicago, Kansas City, that African Americans are killing each other daily in numbers that rival some of the mass shootings if you look at the same periods of time.
Oh, sure.
And that has nothing to do with gun laws. That has a lot to do with all these other variables that are going unaddressed. So my only cry is, and plea, if we're going to have a conversation about violence, it has to be a comprehensive conversation where we as a society try to figure out what we can do, because if you just run to the gun issue and ban or pass things that are really, in my opinion, difficult or unenforceable, what have we really solved 5-10 years from now?
Yeah. Rodney Boyd, my guest, host of Insider Talk here on FM News Talk 97.1. One more thing. This study was done by the Remington Research Group. I'm sure you're familiar with them.
Yes, sir.
I know I've heard of them before. Am I incorrect in believing that Remington Research Group is traditionally considered, aren't they considered to be a conservative polling company?
No. the ownership is conservative. My understanding is the polling company is supposed to be anybody can hire them to do a poll, okay, whether you're all liberal, right, progressive, or whatever.
Well, I thought was interesting, though, again, how they broke the demographics down here. They said that the poll was designed to reflect expected voting demographics for 2020. The breakdown by party on this poll is 41% Republican, 32% Democrat, 27% nonpartisan. I don't understand that in a state that Donald Trump won by how many points? 18, 19 points, something like that?
I guess you could go back and look at how Remington predicted the last presidential outcome. It might give you an indication as to whether they really understand the psyche, yeah, of Missourians in all 114 counties.
Well, it's a good point, and maybe that's something worth looking at as this poll kind of makes the rounds today. I'm gonna repeat just two more things that came from this poll, just so people know. Would you support or oppose requiring background checks of all potential gun buyers? And according to this, 77% of people supported that idea. It breaks it down. Republican, 70% support. Democrat, 88% support. Nonpartisan, 76% support. One more. Would you support or oppose a law allowing police to take away guns from a person a judge finds dangerous? Again, almost 70% support for that in this poll done by Remington Research. So you can bet that people are going to hear more about this poll today, Ron.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. It's going to, in the light of a lot of the uptick in shootings around the state, especially this weekend, it will be. The question is, if you took the elements of that poll and you affected them, what have we done? What will we have done to actually address the undercurrent, the causes of the violence that people,
yes,
are so concerned about?
Yeah, it's a great point. And here's a question I want them to ask. Do you understand the difference between a semi-automatic weapon and a fully automatic weapon? Do you understand the difference between do you want to know what an AR-15 really is? What's your definition of an assault weapon? None of that stuff is explained in here, and I think that is very frustrating for me.
Well, how you phrase the question often dictates the answer you'll get.
Yep, very true. Rodney Boyd, listen, I appreciate your time, my friend. We'll be listening on Sunday.
Yeah. Appreciate you.
You bet. We'll talk to you soon. Appreciate that. Rodney Boyd there, host of Insider Talk. And I want to get to my friend John Henderson from the range who's calling in here on line one. John, are you there? John, are you there? Sorry.
Yes, sir. I'm here, Mark. How are you?
I'm doing good, buddy. I assume you have some reaction to this poll I was just reading.
Well, yeah. Well, I mean, you know, I think it was Mark Twain that once said there's three types of falsehoods: lies, damn lies, and statistics.
Yeah,
so you can make a poll say anything you want to, but when we start talking about red flag laws and universal background checks and all these other different things, I want us to substitute, you know, everybody supports taking guns from someone who a judge deems dangerous. Let's substitute taking away their free speech rights, or their freedom of religion, or their freedom from illegal search and seizure. Let's substitute that into that conversation, and I think you'd probably get a different reaction from people. And this is a slippery slope. Once we go down the path of foregoing due process because somebody else thinks someone else is dangerous, and I know they're a judge, but they're still a human being.
Right.
You know, it's not like judges are perfect creatures and don't have biases. That's why we have due process. So we're not relying on someone's opinion or someone's worldview or someone's perspective.
You know, John,
my free speech rights are inalienable. They're given to me by God, not by government.
I agree.
Matter of fact, my government is constituted to help protect those rights, not to infringe upon them.
John, I appreciate the call. Let me get you on here tomorrow. We'll talk about this on 2A Tuesday, all right?
All right, thanks, Mark.
Yes, sir, I appreciate it. John Henderson from the Range, St. Louis West. We'll talk about all this tomorrow. Andrew Pollack coming up.
Do you agree? Did Beto O'Rourke say something that's playing into the hands of Republicans?
Yes. Look, right now, we have an amazing moment on our hands. We have agreement among the American people for not just universal background checks, but we have a majority in favor of red flag laws, high-capacity magazines.
beat Buttigieg this weekend, arguing that Beto O'Rourke is playing into the hands of conservatives. Tell you what, Pete, Mayor Pete, we didn't need Beto O'Rourke to do that because we understand that people like Hillary Clinton have been after the individual right to keep and bear arms, oh, let's see, since before the previous election.
Here again, the Supreme Court is wrong on the Second Amendment, and I am going to make that case every chance I get, so yeah. I will need your help on that.
Thank you very much. I wanted you to hear that from this weekend. A minute ago, if you were listening, I had Rodney Boyd on here. We were discussing a new poll that's out in Missouri asking people if they think we should ban assault weapons, and it shows overwhelming support for it in Missouri. It didn't describe what an assault weapon was, but apparently it's reflective of some belief in this country that that fixes the problem. And I've argued to you for a long time that that's not the problem. Most of these policies don't address the problem. Honored to have Andrew Pollack here with us this morning. Not only is he the father of Meadow, who died in the Parkland school shooting, he's got a book out now talking about some of the people and the policies that created that problem. Mr. Pollack, welcome to the show.
Hey, good morning, Mark. Thanks for having me on today.
Yeah, I appreciate you giving us a few minutes this morning. You know, I have continued to watch with fascination as we see these shootings that have happened around the country. People think that taking the tool away that was used fixes the problem. I'd like to hear your take on, particularly what's in your book, obviously, but your take on Nicholas Cruz and what happened in Parkland.
Sure. Well, Mark, I wrote the book. Really, at first, it was just going to be an article, and I wrote the book really to honor my daughter, because my daughter would want me to do everything possible to expose all the people that failed her and the policies. And that's what I'm doing. One by one, I'm going to expose it. And the problem was, you know, every mainstream media was focused on guns. I want the country to know the truth of what happened to my daughter in Parkland, how it wasn't a gun, how it was all these failures and policies, liberal policies implemented into these school districts. And it's throughout the whole country. The lack of discipline, okay, creates an unsafe environment for our kids, for our teachers, of not arresting, ending the school-to-prison pipeline, okay? When you don't hold kids accountable while they're juveniles, it sets them up for failure. And what the Democrats fail to see, they don't get a background, these kids that are bad. I'm not talking all kids. We don't want to hurt kids that are just make a mistake. I'm talking kids that are violent, disruptive, psychopathic, and they commit these crimes and they don't get arrested, so they don't have a background. So the Democrats, all they do is spew background checks, background checks, background checks. But if they don't give them a background, they were able to purchase the guns legally, like we've seen just recently in Dayton.
Right.
He was a sick kid. He had a hit list. He wanted to rape kids. They all knew he was going to be a killer. Not arrested, no background for those threats. My daughter's killer made numerous threats. The police went to his house 45 times. He trespassed at the school. He was skinning animals. He threatened kids at the school, their lives. Never arrested. So Democrats, you know, they refuse to look at the underlying problems. Okay, it's the mental health,
right?
And it's not arresting people when they make these threats and holding them accountable.
We're talking to Andrew Pollack, and you know, I admire the fact that you haven't just been talking about this, but you've taken action. You got involved in the school board elections down there to try to make people realize these changes have to take place in your local community. That you have to elect people to your school board who are going to look at common sense policies within the district to protect our children.
Correct, Mark. What I learned is, because, you know, I didn't want to do this. You know, they murdered my daughter, so I'm gonna wreck everybody that is responsible. Nothing's going to stop me from honoring my daughter and exposing the people. So what I learned over the last year and a half is that politicians could only do so much for parents. Okay, everyone asks me, what did Trump do for you? What did Ron DeSantis do? What did Rick Scott do? They did everything humanly possible to make schools safe. Okay, if the president could wave his wand and make every school the safest school on the planet, he would do it. But he did so much. I know personally, he opened the Federal School Safety Commission, over hundreds of recommendations in there. He ended the Obama policies of not holding kids accountable, those leniency policies. He rescinded them. But at a local level, they do whatever they want. So that's why I put this book together, Mark. I call it a manual now for parents to see what happened to my daughter at that school and how it affected everybody. They need to read it and see what happened in Broward, because it's happening throughout the whole country. And to me, when I talk to parents, I go, why subject your child? It's your responsibility of what environment you put your child into.
Right.
That's why this book is so important. It's not president. It's not your governor. It's the parents. You drive them to that school and drop them off. So I didn't know what was going on in the school, Mark, when I brought my daughter there. I didn't know what the hell was going on. But now, through my book with this manual, parents have no excuse. That's my thing now. I don't want to hear it from a parent in the country. I didn't know what was going on in the school, because it's laid out from right now in this book. And I tell them, I urge them, it's irresponsible. Don't make the same mistake I did and put my daughter in a school thinking that, oh, wow, look at the community I live. It's great. You know, average house is $500,000. You know, you think you're putting your kid in a good school, but you don't realize who's running it, and you don't know who the policies they have in place that don't look out for the kid's best interest. So that's why I put this manual together.
It's local, and people need to realize that. Andrew Pollack, thank you for your efforts on this. You're doing a great service for others who hopefully don't have to go through the same tragedy you suffered.
Thank you, Mark.
We appreciate you, sir. Thank you. Andrew Pollack, our guest there. You can buy the book, Why Meadow Died, The People and Policies That Created the Parkland Shooter and Endanger America's Students. It's on Amazon. Wherever you buy your books, like $15, you can buy this book. It should be required reading. For parents, it should be required reading. 314-241-9797. There's a question for you. When's the last time you went to your local school board meeting? Ask yourself that question. We'll be right back. When you're standing oh so near. How about that? The little cards for you this morning. Rick Ocasek found dead last night in his apartment. How sad. I said this earlier. This is like the soundtrack of my youth. I remember listening to this in my buddy's 76 Camaro with the speakers in the back enough to melt your ears. It's probably why I'm partially deaf today. He's probably to blame for that.
He might be.
Could be.
But at least it was good stuff you were listening to.
It was
to.
Good stuff. What a great album, the Cars album. Good stuff. Hey, let me get to the phones here. Steve is calling us this morning. Steve, good morning to you.
Hi, Mark. Good morning to everybody. Happy Monday.
Good morning.
Good Monday.
Good morning, Steve.
On this issue that banned guns that Beto and all his buddies want to do, let's go back in history and look at something called the Great Experiment from 1920 to 1933 called Prohibition, when alcohol was made illegal by the government. And look at all the bad things, the unintended consequences that happened as a result of that. Many people would say it was what really got crime started in this country. There was bootlegging. There was all sorts of problems. So let's not forget about history when people are crying out to ban guns.
Well, you know, I mean, I think I think there's a lesson there. But we also have the Second Amendment issue as well. I mean, they've got to accept the fact that you can't put the genie back in the bottle. Steve,
that's
I think
right.
That as much as anything, they're even if they stopped selling all guns tomorrow, which is not going to happen, it's a ridiculous statement. There are hundreds of millions of weapons out there. They're not going to confiscate them all, and they're not what's causing the problem.
Totally agree with you. Totally. I'm just saying these people, these politicians, they don't know what the word unintended consequences means.
Yeah.
And they shout for all these bans and and removal of our constitutional rights. That's certainly one thing. But the other thing is what happens when these things are done. And prohibition is a great example of what happens when you try and take something away from people and the resulting bad things which can happen.
Yeah, very true. Well, listen, I appreciate the phone call, Steve. Thank you.
Thanks. Have a good day.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Thank you for that. Interesting conversation. I haven't thought of it so much like about the prohibition argument. I've heard that before on the marijuana issue as well. You know, they made it illegal, but everybody's doing it anyway. Why wouldn't the government try to make money off of it? Which is what's happening in states
all over the
country. No doubt about that. I talked to a couple. I sat at the table with them this weekend at the Eagle Council dinner, and they live in Colorado. Tricia, that's why I texted you asking you about the sheriff's name out there. They've described all the problems they've had since legalization happened. They would disagree with the fact that prohibition on that was a bad thing.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.